Welcome to You Talking to Me, the radio show where your host, Big JD, talks to a different guest every week on a variety of subjects. That's the You Talking to Me show, and now here he is, your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. You can visit the You Talking to Me website at www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking with no G, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. I have a very special show for you this week. I'm talking to a group of podcasters, mostly made up of the Yahoo Podcasters group, which you can find at groups.yahoo.com and do a search there for podcasters. I'm a member of the Yahoo Podcasters group and definitely enjoy taking part in many of the discussions with the other podcasters. I thought it would be a great idea to get a group of these podcasters together and have a discussion on podcasting in general, what got them started, the technology behind it, and where they see the future of podcasting headed. And I just need to make quick mention that this is part one of the podcasters interview. It was a rather lengthy show, so it was cut in half to make two podcasts. And next week's part two of the podcasters interview will end off my season, as I am taking a hiatus after that particular show and pick things back up in the spring. So without any further delay, let's get right into the show and meet my first guest. Welcome to You Talking to Me, Kian.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Why don't you start by introducing your podcasts, as it is, and and the website addresses for them.
Well, my first podcast is View from the Quad. That's over 100 episodes now. You can get that at viewfromthequad.com. That's sort of a weekly jaunt and whatever is interesting me this week, usually technology or sci-fi based. And then my second one is Starting WoW, which is my attempt to sort of fund my World of Warcraft addiction. I started it as sort of a mainly business venture about 12 weeks ago, just finished the first season, and it's doing really, really well. It's beating View from the Quad on subscribers in its 12th week already. It's great.
Cool. What got you started in podcasting and why?
What got me started in podcasting was quite a few other people, listening to all these people like Scott Sigler and Twit and Dawn and Drusha, and just thinking that I wanted to do this. I've always wanted to be able to make people listen to me, and sort of from a very early age I've been building little FM transmitters to take over the local radio stations within about 100 meters radius, and this is just sort of the logical step up from that. And making people listen to me.
So you must be pretty technologically literate. You're recording your own shows, I take it, and you do your own websites as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, I sort of cheat on the websites. I use WordPress, and I just theme them.
What is it that you like about podcasting?
What I like about podcasting is the fact that anybody can do it. Well, you have sort of, not only that anybody can do it, but anybody can do it basically with, pretty much for free now. You have hosts which will allow you to host your stuff for free, like SwitchPod. I think they put advertisements on it, but other than that, it's free. You can, most laptops have the microphone built in. So basically anybody who has a laptop and an internet connection can do it for free. The audio quality isn't really all that important, even though I've splashed out a bit on microphones and mixers. But if you can't afford the big fancy equipment, you can still get a really, really good podcast out there, get a great listenership, and maybe make some money through ads.
I was going to say, you're probably not recording your shows on a laptop microphone, because they're actually recorded very well.
Thanks. Yeah, I use a MXL 990 that a guy called T. Morris sold to me last year. I went down to California for the podcast conference, and he sold it to me. And I'm recording it all on that and an Alesis Multimix 8 Firewire. And I'm having great fun with this thing. It's great.
When you mention that name, T. Morris, I see a lot of that on the Yahoo forums.
Yeah, he's very loud. Him and Steve Ely, you can't really say anything without getting shouted up by either one of those.
You mentioned the possibility of making money from podcasting. What do you think about selling advertising in your podcasts?
I think it's good so long as you don't do too much of it. Like View from the Quad, Ad Starting WoW are both have sponsors now at this point. And I think it's a really good advancement if you can manage it without taking over the content or without sounding just bad and cheesy. I really dislike the the pre-recorded ones that advertisers will send you.
Right.
I'll only do like host read ones, or where I write my own script, or where I can sort of read a script that they give me if I can edit it around a bit. I don't like I don't like just putting loud, annoying music in there for sponsors. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing, though.
Did you ever consider live, like online internet radio, or what do you think about that?
I've tried it a few times. I did an interview back in the day with after T. Morris's first, I think it was T. Morris's Billy Bob Battings. I did the exit interview for that, and it was complete shambles. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. I had three microphones in front of me. I had no idea which one I was coming in on. Then to add to that, most people who are listening and talking on it were using laptops, including me, and we didn't realize that when we were typing, everything was coming directly through the microphone. It was awful. But I've done a few live shows which have worked out well. But in general, I like to be able to edit what I say, right, so I don't sound stupid.
How about mailing lists and other ways to keep in contact with your listeners? Do you you do anything like that?
I have mailing lists for both of them. I mean, the Starting Well mailing list is, nobody uses that. It's sort of sad. But the View from the Quad one has, I don't have a huge amount of subscriptions on the mailing list, but I have maybe 10% of my listeners. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I ever do figure out a way of, adding more to the podcast, other than here are the weekly show notes that I do use at the moment, I think it's going to be great.
What about contests? Have you ever held anything?
I had a sort of really famous contest last year, and then sort of haven't really done anything since, called the 12 Days of Christmas, okay, where every day for the 12 days running up to Christmas, I gave away sort of a signed book, T-shirt or something. I gave away signed copies of T. Morris's books, Scott Sigler's books, Mer Lafferty's T-shirts and shirts. And then on Christmas Day, I gave away a copy of the first Harry Potter book signed by five members of the cast of the film. So that went really well. And then I just sort of, was really tired and haven't done anything since.
No, that's cool, though. And I do remember reading some about that. And as I might mention that you're also a member of the podcasters group on Yahoo.
Yeah, I am.
As well as most of the podcasters that I'm interviewing on this particular show. What do you think about video podcasts? Is that anything that you considered at all?
I don't work well on video. I've never really liked having to. I can just about take editing my voice. I don't think I'll be able to take editing my face. But I watch a lot of video podcasts. I really like what Revision 3 are doing in the video podcast space.
It seems to kind of across the board that a lot of podcasters mention something about their voice, and also the fact that is really interesting is that podcasters are never afraid to say that I don't have a lot of listeners or I don't have a lot of subscribers, but they do what they do because they like it. And I think that's really neat.
I think that's great as well. I remember about 2 years ago I started View from the Quad about 3 years ago. So about 3 years ago, people were sort of only starting to get used to stats and being able to see how many people were listening to them. And then some people just got completely frightened away by seeing maybe they had 10 listeners, but they didn't realize that those 10 listeners could soon grow to huge numbers. And even 10 listeners is great if they're all talking back to you. Well, now that I think people really don't care as much about the listeners now. Well, about the number of listeners.
Right, exactly. I know what you meant. are you a big fan of other podcasts? And if so, are there any in particular that you listen to on a more regular basis?
I am subscribed to about 20 podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'd say at the moment, my favorite ones, which I listen to on the day of release, are you have George Rabb's Geologic podcast. It's probably my favorite one at the moment. Then I'm subscribed to all this Scott Sigler stuff, J.C. Hutchins, Mike Bennett. I really liked Mer Lafferty's Geek Crew Action Group, and that was going on. Mm-hmm. But that's finished now, unfortunately.
Where do you see the future of podcasting headed?
I'm hoping that at some point podcasting is going to breach. Well, in Ireland, I don't know if it's happened over there yet. It certainly hasn't happened over here in Ireland. But I'm hoping that at some point it's going to stop being the sort of geeky thing to do and maybe make its way into home entertainment systems where these stereos might have automatic ways of downloading podcasts and playing it much like radio. Mm-hmm. I think that's what needs to happen in order for podcasting to become mainstream. It needs to be really, really easy to get. You don't need to have to use a computer. Maybe just the way allow people subscribe like you would subscribe to download all episodes of a TV show on TiVo or something.
Right.
I think that's what needs to happen.
That's really interesting. What would you do, if anything, for its future? Is there anything that you can think of that you could do or podcasters could do to actually help that?
Well, I'm sure there are people out there who will be able to design such a device. I wouldn't be able to. I'm not I'm not very good with development or anything. But I do my bit in sort of going to launches of other podcasts if there are. Like, I'm more interested sort of encouraging other podcasters to do their thing, mm-hmm. and then seeing if they can figure out the stuff that I can't figure out about how to make it bigger.
That's a good point too, encouraging other podcasters. Is there anybody, or are there any folks that you might have encouraged that to do a podcast that were not doing a podcast at all?
I know of one definite person. His name's Stephen Kilbride. I don't know if you're interviewing him. He does the Tea and Chat podcast. It's another one based in Ireland. And apparently I had something to do with him starting. Other than that, there's been a few which sort of had three episodes and petered out. But I'd say he's my most successful protege.
Okay. Is there any special topic of interest that you you might want to add? Or an example was Nobilis having his public service announcements. Is there anything that you know, you think or find interesting that you'd want to mention before we end the interview?
I was nominated for the European Podcast Awards. All my podcasts are starting with A Few from the Quad. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to go over to their website, I can't remember what it is now, and just give me 5 stars and see if anything happens, that would rock.
Oh, you have information about that on your websites?
Yeah, I've been accepted in for both podcasts. I'm just going to focus on Starting Where, because that's my new one, and that's the one that I want to see explode. So there's information on both my websites about how to vote for the Starting Where podcast.
Awesome. Make sure everybody votes for Kian.
Thanks very much.
So maybe you can give us your website addresses again and your podcast names there.
View from the Quad, the science fiction technology sort of humor podcast, is at viewfromthequad.com. And Starting Wow, which is a much more geeky script, I write the scripts for that podcast, is at startingwow.com.
Awesome. Well, Kian, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me here on You Talking to Me, and wish you great success with your podcasts.
Thanks very much. Thanks for putting up with me.
All right, take care.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Okay, and talking with another Yahoo Podcasters Group podcaster, Alina, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, Big JD, thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me.
Give us the maybe the URLs to your websites and your podcast names. And
great. Well, my name's Alina DeLisser, and I'm the host and producer of two podcasts. One's for children, and it's called Cody's Cuentos. It's a podcast in Spanish of children's stories. And the other podcast is called Voices en Español, and that is a podcast for students of Spanish.
Okay, and where can they find the two?
The first one, Cody's Cuentos, the URL is codyscuentos.com. Mm-hmm. And the second one is Spanish, and then there's a hyphen, podcast.com. But if you go on Google and type in Voices en Español, it will come up on the first page.
Cool. And we hope some listeners will check those out, and as well, we'll get that information from you again later. So what got you started in podcasting, and why?
Well, I started last fall, the fall of 2007, and I have a background in journalism, and thought this would be a great way to use my journalism skills in terms of interviewing people and work on my Spanish. And I also have an idea for a business related to teaching Spanish, and I thought both of these podcasts would be a good way to kind of dip my toes, so to speak, into the water.
Definitely a great idea. Do you record your own shows, and do you do your own websites? And
yeah, I am not technology literate at all. Thank goodness for WordPress. That's been a big help. And in terms of the recording, it's been trial and error. I started off with GarageBand, and have torn my hair out using GarageBand. I'm now using other stuff like Audio Hijack and Fizzen. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, technology-wise, no. It's been sink or swim, and there have been a couple of people that I've met along the way that have given me tips. In one case, there's one guy that helped me do some editing, because at one point I was just so overwhelmed by the editing, and I paid him a little bit of money to help me edit some of the earlier stuff, but it wasn't something I could keep doing long term with him. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so that's been the big challenge with getting up to speed with the podcasting is the technology stuff in the background.
Now, I know you mentioned in the future you want to do something with using podcasting for the teaching thing and so forth. But what is it that you really like about podcasting that, you know, helps it with what you are actually doing now?
Yeah, I mean, well, right now in the meantime, so to speak, it's I enjoy the intimacy of podcasting, mm-hmm. and from that, I mean, when you read somebody's blog, unless somebody is a really talented writer and consistent writer, it can be difficult to develop a level of affection for that person or interest in that person's life. Mm-hmm. And with the podcasting, with the voice, hearing somebody's voice, it can have a very powerful impact. And so I like the idea that when people hear the voice, if they like the voice or if they like what they're hearing, they're going to come back. Whereas with a text blog, you can have one really good piece, but unless it's like super incredible, super stellar, the odds are that they're not going to come back. Whereas with a podcast, I feel like there's a wider opportunity to reach more people and to make a connection with more people faster.
Right.
With podcasting.
Have you found anything that you dislike about podcasting?
Yeah, it's time consuming. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly time-consuming, and the editing has just been something that I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy the editing. I once spent, with the children's podcast, 45 minutes editing a five-minute story.
Wow.
So, obviously, I need to learn more about editing. So,
but you'll take care of that on your own, do you think?
I'm going to take care of that on my own. Yeah,
you exactly. Wouldn't outsource that or anything.
I'm thinking that maybe I'm going to have to get to the point where maybe I'll find somebody who can help me with that long term.
Right.
But for the time being, I'm able to handle most of it on my own. But it is time consuming, and that's other people have emailed me saying, "Oh, how can I get into podcasting? What equipment should I buy?" and all that kind of stuff. And I tell people, the equipment is important, but what's more important is the time that you're going to need to devote to getting the audio together. Because a lot of people, they hear a 5 minute program, they think, "Oh, how fun, how cool," but then getting it together, putting it online.
Right.
It can take up a lot of time. And I think a lot of people, they get excited about it. It's like a new hobby. And then if you don't do two or three, do more than like four or five shows, it's kind of, I don't know. To me, that would be disappointing to get all excited about something, buy all the equipment, and then only produce a handful of shows and never be seen or heard from again.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
So anyway.
What do you think about selling advertising in podcasts? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it would get too radio-ish, or what do you think about that?
I think it's going to move in that direction. I personally have mixed feelings about it. Because of the time commitment involved, I feel that a semi-professional podcaster, somebody who's putting out, let's say, you know, at least three or four shows a month, you know, somebody who's podcasting weekly, let's say, mm-hmm. I think they deserve to be compensated in some way for the time and for their enthusiasm for what they're doing. But the advertising has to be done appropriately, because I think a lot of people that enjoy listening to podcasts, part of the enjoyment comes from knowing that they're not going to be bombarded with advertising.
Right.
So I think the selection of the advertiser is key. I think the length of the advertisement is key. There's a podcast that I enjoy listening to, but the podcaster spends so much time shilling her stuff and other people's stuff, mm-hmm. that I'm building up a little bit of resistance listening to her program.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there with the, for one thing, you know, the length of advertising, but also the appropriate advertising for your specific podcast or your listeners. Do many of your listeners contact you? How do you feel about mailing lists or ways to keep your listeners maybe in contact with you, or, you know, contests and different things like that?
Yeah, my podcast has only been up and running since November, but back in February, I did a book contest where I interviewed an author, and I got his publisher to give me five copies of the book. Mm-hmm. And up until that point in time, that was the most number of responses I got on a podcast entry on my blog, because people had to write in and say something about that episode in order to qualify to get the books.
Before that, did you, were they, was it kind of scarce hearing from anybody or?
Well, people were, that's the thing, on the blog that I have is both for the podcast and for other blog entries related to learning Spanish.
Right.
And I'm finding that people are downloading the podcast pretty regularly from iTunes, but they're not coming to the blog to comment on the actual podcast. They're coming to the blog to comment on other things on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I'm not sure what's totally behind that. I've tried to get a little bit more information from them. And in the last month, starting at the beginning of June, I opened up an account to start collecting people's email addresses. So
right.
I came up with an ebook, and I've asked people that in exchange for giving me their email address, I would send them this free ebook that I wrote about some particular grammar thing related to Spanish. And in a month, I've gotten 146 names, which I'm happy about. So, but prior to that, I had no real, you know, iTunes is telling me how many people are downloading an episode, but I have no idea who those people are. And so now I'm starting to get that information so that I can start. What I would like to do is I'd like to get in touch with book publishers and do more promotions of book giveaways in connection with people that are on the email list.
Right.
So that way, adding a little bit of exclusivity to it and, you know, having a way to have a closer contact with the people that are listening on a regular basis.
Right, an interaction. I think that's what a lot of podcasters find is that there are people listening to their shows, but it seems like it's such an on-the-go thing that
right.
they don't really hear from anybody.
Right.
So what do you think about video podcasts? Is that something that you'd ever...
The idea fascinates me, and I would love to get into that. But I feel like if I'm going to do it, I'm going to need to do it well.
Right. And it's another trade, I guess, that you'd have to take on, like anybody
yeah.
would. There's the
yeah,
editing,
exactly.
there's the
exactly.
the audio recording, the video, and then
exactly. The ideal situation for me would be for me to get a new boyfriend who was Spanish speaking, who had a background in
there you go
in filmmaking.
Yeah, you got some great ideas.
Kill two birds with one stone right there.
Perfect.
So I'm working on that because the current boyfriend doesn't have that background.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Fulfill those needs. So where do you see the future of podcasting headed? Is there something in particular way that you see it headed?
I definitely see it becoming more commercial, mm-hmm. definitely, and used more for marketing purposes. I think that... And that's good and that's bad. It's bad from the standpoint that it's going to give people the impression that you have to have a big budget in order to get into podcasting, which you don't.
Right.
But it's good from the standpoint that the quality of recordings, I think, is going to go way up
mm-hmm.
Because the consumer is going to expect a level of quality in terms of the audio.
Right.
Not necessarily in terms of the content, but in terms of the audio,
mm-hmm.
The consumer is going to start expecting that in a podcast.
Right.
So I expect podcasts to become more of a marketing tool for corporations, and hopefully it won't get to the point where the little guy gets totally intimidated and pushed out. But I see it becoming more popular,
mm-hmm.
but definitely more popular from a corporate standpoint.
And what would you do, if anything, for its future? Is there anything that you would specifically do or that you would like to do to help podcasting?
I would love to see, and I know that this currently exists with like Blueberry, but I'd love to see the creation of a really forceful, aggressive, is I guess the best word to use, ad network for podcasters.
Right.
An organization, whether it's something that's run by other podcasters or whether it's a separate entity for profit company that goes out and sells advertising for podcasters. But like an ad network that's designed for podcasters, not an ad network that just kind of sees this as an opportunity, is going to, you know, just put the same old kind of techniques on top of what they would do to sell.
Right. You want to make sure it's specific. But of course, it's a great idea because that's the way things are headed, it seems. So,
right,
is there
right.
any special topic of interest that you might want to add here?
No, just in terms of if you want me to mention a podcast that I love, that I
sure.
enjoy listening to, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the best podcasts around out there. He has a history podcast, but he does it in the form of talk radio. Okay. So you're learning about some historical event, but the way in which he's discussing it and the way in which he's viewing it is from he's talking through it, and his whole manner of talking about it is from a standpoint of like a talk radio guy. It's very entertaining, and it's very educational at the same time.
Sounds good. I guess you could search that at the iTunes store as well.
Yeah, and his website is dancarlin.com. I don't know him from Adam, but he's doing something right, because he's got over 300 comments on iTunes recommending his podcast, which is like, I've cool. never seen that.
And why don't you give us your information again as far as your podcast and your website URLs?
Yeah, sure. The first podcast is called Cody's Cuentos, and that's spelled CodysCuentos.com. And the second podcast is the word Spanish, and then a hyphen, and then podcast.com.
Okay, great. Well, appreciate your time, Alina. Thanks for being on You Talking to Me. And
Thank you.
I hope to talk to you again in the near future. Take care.
Bye.
And it now gives me great pleasure to welcome to You Talking to Me another podcaster from the Yahoo Podcasters group. This is Mike LaPlante, also known as Lippo from the Jabbercast. Mike has a few different podcasts. I'd like to welcome you to You Talking to Me.
Thanks a lot, Big JD.
I guess we can start by mentioning the podcasts that you do produce and where listeners can find those.
Well, the show that we do weekly is the Jabbercast, which I do with Big JD here, and that's probably why it sounds so good you interviewing me, because we are in the same room. And I also produce a show called the Easy Mac Podcast, which I do with Jeff and Mike on the Easy Mac Podcast. And I also have a history of doing another show. It's the Border City Radio Podcast, which I have been on hiatus from, or as another podcaster would say, I've been in hibernation.
Okay. Grizzly.
And I also produce a podcast with my dad, who's also kind of on hiatus and hibernation, you could say. And that is Harry's Philosophy. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Philosopher's Corner, which you can find at harrysphilosophy.com. And as far as Easy Mac Podcast goes, you can find that at easymacpodcast.com. And the Jabbercast is thejabbercast.com.
Wow.
Lots of info there.
What got you started in podcasting?
Well, ever since I was a teenager, I wanted to be a DJ. Mm-hmm. That's you know, I heard the DJs on the radio and you're playing all kinds of awesome tunes, and I was right into music. That's really what I saw myself doing. And for some reason, I got discouraged from doing that. I don't know exactly what it was. I remember going to college, and I knew a couple of DJs that worked at what was then CIMX, which is now 89X, here in the Windsor market. And I found out what they were making money-wise, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're young, you think, how can I make as much money as I can? And, you know, and that just seemed like starting at way too low of an income. Like, you have to live with your parents to be a DJ.
There you go, yeah.
Or, you know, eat craft dinner and hot dogs every day, which I wasn't about to do, you know. So the podcasting thing came about as technology, you know, came around. I use a Mac, of course, you know, on the Easy Mac Podcast. And it got around to the point where you can make good quality shows using a home computer. Mm-hmm. I was kind of always into that, you know, audio thing, but it got to a point where it's very easy for you to plug a mic into your computer, create a file, and you could have a decent sounding show. And then as soon as other podcasters out there found the RSS deal, you know, you can put the show up somewhere where people can download it easily. So I was kind of like right at the beginning of podcasting, you know, as you know.
Right.
I found it very intriguing and dove in.
And you mentioned about recording the shows and so forth. You're technology literate. You record your own shows. You do your own websites.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I was coding HTML before I was doing anything audio related. So mm-hmm. I was doing the website thing already. So I was kind of familiar with, you know, the whole web as it progressed as well, because that's come a long way as well. The HTML and CSS, and now we got the Ajax and Web 2.0 and all that stuff. And there's the stuff that Apple's coming out with, that whole, what is it? Sprout Core.
As you mentioned, us being in the studio recording this, and why the quality sounds so much different than most of the podcasters that I've been interviewing on Skype, just so, you know, listeners know why this sounds quite a bit different, is because we're both in the same locale.
That's right. This is how good all of our podcasts sound.
That's right. What do you like about podcasting?
I like podcasting for a couple of reasons. I like the fact that I'm able to get something off my chest and have an infinite amount of people tune into that message. So, you know, I feel like I have something to say and I want a lot, as many people to hear that as possible. Same with taking pictures. You know, I take a picture. I want as many people to see that picture as possible. Mm-hmm. That, and the fact that it is so immediate, and at the same time, it's time shifted as well. So people can listen to this at any time. And it stays good forever. It's, you know, it's always fresh, you know, unless you have time-related information in your show. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what I like about podcasting.
And do you have any dislikes about podcasting or possibly podcasters?
Nothing I could say bad about podcasters, because it really is a new media type of thing. And the fact that it is a new media, that's the only thing I have to say bad about it, because I think podcasting has a real future once advertisers realize that what kind of medium it really is, how powerful it can be, and the fact that it's not easier for people to get a podcast in their car. Because I honestly think podcasting is the same as radio, and most people listen to the radio in their car.
Right.
That's the time where people are their captive audience, and they can tune into something that lasts longer than 5 or 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's when they're in their car. People don't listen to the radio so much when they're in their house. They'll throw a CD on, or, you know, they have other media readily available to them in their house. So,
and what do you think about selling advertising in podcasts? Do you do that at all now, or what's your take on that?
Oh, advertising is a necessary evil, I guess, is what I would say. You got to have that to make the medium progress forward. It ain't going to go anywhere unless we have some dollars pouring into it and have more people do more podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the mainstream media, which are podcasting now, and they already have the advertisers in their pocket already. So, you know, right. There's the CBCs, you know, in Canada here, and all the major news outlets, they all have podcasts out there already. And so when they go to their advertisers, you know, we got your 30-second spots here, and for an additional $15 per thousand, we'll throw your ads into our podcast as mm-hmm. well. You know, so they already have an advantage of that. But I think the grassroots podcasters have to tap into these advertisers. I'm all for advertising, positively.
What's your view on online radio, internet radio? I know you're involved to some degree and with an online show. What's your take on online radio? You know, maybe its progression or where it sits alongside of podcasting, possibly.
Online radio is not as defined as I think it could be, because where radio is going, like mainstream radio, you can listen to the local radio station here in any given town on the internet live, mm-hmm. right as it happens. And as well, anybody with a computer and some streaming software can stream online as well and tune in that way too. So there's those two different, it's the same medium. You're listening to somebody on your computer. Mm-hmm. However, I think there's going to be a time when stuff like your BlackBerry and your iPhone, these smartphones that have access to high-speed cell networks, they're going to be able to listen to these internet radio programs right on their device as well. So I think it's a more complex medium, and it has a larger hurdle to grow as fast as podcasting can, I think. I think mm-hmm. nothing is really standing in podcasting's way other than the revenue stream and the way to monetize it to make it progress farther, whereas radio and internet radio isn't as defined as it could be, whereas podcasting is pretty much well defined. Mm-hmm. You know, it can grow into something else, but there's nothing really in its way.
And how about you keeping in contact with your listeners, your subscribers? Do you keep mailing lists? Do you hold contests? Are you in the kind of contact that you wish to be with listeners, or do you find that because of the medium of podcasting, that just doesn't really happen? You know, they don't keep in contact with a show like you would maybe want them to, like they would with a regular radio station possibly calling in and that sort of thing.
You hit the hammer on the head. It's the medium itself that makes it not as it's not a good medium for me talking to my listeners. Because I was talking to Ken Ray about this very thing. You know, I often send him stuff, and every time I send him something, he plays it on his show. Meanwhile, I know he has at least 10,000 listeners, mm-hmm. which is a good chunk. But
sure. But how many are interacting with him?
Yeah, not many are interacting. Like, you know, it's, you know, maybe 10 a week might send him something. Mm-hmm. 10, like one in 1,000. people might send him something. So, you know, until I get a show that has over 1,000 listeners myself, you know, I can't expect much contact to come back to me. And it all comes back to the time shifting thing. People are listening to their podcast while they're taking a jog, or they're listening to it in their car over an FM transmitter or hardwired or whatever. So they're not necessarily, oh, listen to that. I want to talk to Mike about that. You know,
right. Yeah.
They can't pick up their phone or email me right away or nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, and once you turn your car off or get away from your iPod, you're not thinking about the show you listen to or getting mm-hmm. back to somebody.
And what do you think about video podcasts? Is that something that you would maybe take advantage of in the future if you're not now?
Well, here's the thing about video podcasts compared to audio podcasts. Audio podcasts, you and I can make this show sound as good as, or even better sometimes, than some of the shows you hear on the radio right now. Mm-hmm. As far as the quality goes, production-wise, we can make this thing sound pretty polished, and we got the equipment right in front of us right now. Right. With video, however, it's a totally different thing because you want to have at least two cameras to make it interesting enough to look at, mm-hmm. preferably three cameras, mm-hmm. three different angles, you know, that's a big thing. That's a big limitation right there. And then there's the whole bandwidth thing. Video right. files are huge. And so you have to make sure that the space you're putting your podcasts on is going to allow for a large amount of data to be passed through there. So mm-hmm. I think that's a big hurdle as far as video. I would love to do video podcasting, but right now it's just, if the funds were limitless, I would say, let's do it.
Are you a big fan of other podcasts?
I am a big fan of podcasts. I listen to probably 35 different podcasts a week. When I'm at my day job, I'd listen to podcasts all day. Mm-hmm. There's, I'd say, four or five of them that are daily, which, you know, I like the daily stuff. And then there's the rest of them, 25 other podcasts are weekly or monthly, whatever. So I'm huge on podcasts because it's the programming that I want to listen to when I want to listen to it.
Isn't that an amazing concept?
It's an amazing concept. And if I don't like the advertising in a podcast, I fast forward it.
Right. Easy. And on the go. Where do you see the future of podcasting headed?
I think there's going to be still a few year growth period before something happens. Something is going to happen that's going to, it might be the iPhone, it might be devices like the Apple TV. Something has got to make podcasting more readily available to people. So it's not, so they don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. Something is going to happen. There's going to be a sea change in the way that we consume all media, I think. So things are changing, right? We're in the middle of a big transition as far as the recording industry goes, as far as the movie industry goes. And I think podcasting is, and even the radio industry is going through a decline mm-hmm. as far as listenership to radio, because there's so much different kinds of medium out there to listen to. So I think podcasting is going to get swept up in this transition, and it'll hold a dominant place within all medium. I'm going to say 5 years from now, maybe it'll be right up there.
What would you do, if anything, for its future? Is there anything that you can think of that you might be able to attribute to podcasting's future?
Just keep on plugging away. Keep making shows. Be consistent. Unlike, you know, like I do have a show, like I said, you know, that I'm not doing on a regular basis, but you got to be out there regularly putting shows out. That's all you can do. And that is a really big thing to keep it a valid, legitimate medium.
Okay, well, why don't you give us your podcast information again and your website URL so listeners can check out your shows?
Okay, first podcast is The Jabbercast, which you can find at thejabbercast.com, which is also broadcast Sunday mornings live at 11 a.m. on wkbr.ca. And then there's the Easy Mac podcast, which we are lately doing a few shows. It's a monthly show, but we're adding shows in between all the time, giving our listeners some extra content there. And then you can find that at EasyMacPodcast.com. And then eventually I'm going to get back to the Border City Radio podcast, and that's called Borders. And then the URL for that is BorderCityRadio.com. And my dad's podcast, The Philosopher's Corner, is HarrysPhilosophy.com.
Lots of shows there, lots of content. I hope listeners take advantage of listening, subscribing to your shows. And I appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I think this interviewing of all these different podcasters is a great thing that you're doing. Thanks for putting it out there.
And there you have part one of the podcaster's interview. It was a lengthy show. I cut it in half. Next week, we'll air part two of the podcaster's interview right here on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. You can visit the You Talking to Me website at the letter U, talking with no G, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. And I go on hiatus after next week's show, so I'm taking a vacation. You Talking to Me will start back up probably in the spring, as well as the Jeff and Lana show. The Jabbercast continues to run, podcast every week, as well as live Sundays. 11 a.m. on WKBR, WKBR.ca. And the Easy Mac podcast continues to run as well. Monthly podcast helping you with your multimedia projects on your Mac. So I'd like to thank the podcasters, especially that took part in today's podcast, as well as all the podcasters that took part in the interviews. A lot of fun. I consider it a wonderful opportunity to have talked to all of you. So I hope you and everyone else enjoyed the show this week. Check back for the Podcasters Interview Part 2 next week here on You Talking to Me. Have a great week.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD. All shows copyright 2008 Big JD for the OMS Entertainment Group.